Bibles to John chapter 11 this morning. John chapter 11, what a day that will be. You can look forward to that day if you have trusted Christ alone as your Savior. Through repentance of our sin and faith in Christ alone, we can have everlasting life, the promise of an eternal home in heaven, where we'll get to be with Him and see Him face to face, be with Him forevermore. I can see you're all very excited about that this morning, and that's good to have that level of excitement. Just relatively considering, you could spend eternity in hell or eternity in the pleasures of heaven, you know. Look at that excitement. You guys look like you've been at Oh Yeah with a bunch of teenagers for a couple of days. No, that's what this looks like. We had a great time. We really did. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the wind never stops blowing in western Oklahoma. And in particular, it was blowing, about 40 miles an hour nonstop. And it was full of awesome cedar pollen, which is really good for me and my allergies. But we did have a great time. Brother Ben McDaniel, a good friend of mine, preached some great messages from the Word of God. Got to hear some young preacher boys give some lessons, and that was encouraging, and just had a wonderful time. And I think our kids had a good time. And it's evidenced by the fact that most of them, all of them, I think, that were able to are here this morning. I thank God for it. But God is so good. As we prepare to have revival in this church, and you'll notice what I said, we prepare to have revival. Not a revival meeting, but revival. Now, God can do a work in our hearts. He can do a work in our lives. He can do a work in this church that will impact our community in a tremendous way if we have revival. Here's the catch. Revival doesn't depend on our evangelist, Brother Matt Raines. Revival doesn't depend on Brother Dean as he leads us in worship. Revival doesn't depend on me as your pastor as I try to plan and lead out in this revival effort. Revival depends squarely on you. And me, because I'm a member. But revival depends on each and every one of us. And revival will only come to this church if it comes to your heart. I want you to know today, though, that Jesus Christ has the power to bring revival. And as we go through this account in Scripture this morning, this message is going to be a little bit different, but as we go through this account in Scripture today, I just want you to understand where I'm going with this just up front. We're going to learn about Jesus' power to revive. And there are two types of people in the world today. There are those who are dead in their trespasses and sin, and there are those who are dead to their trespasses and sin. There are those who are lost, unsaved, enemies of God, and yet undone, and there are those who through repentance of sin and faith in Christ alone have been made alive, given life everlasting, passed from death unto life. Now, this morning, there may be somebody here who is still dead in their sins, and I want you to get this picture from the Scripture today that if you are dead in your sin, Jesus Christ has the power to make you alive. He alone, He's the only one that has the power to give you life everlasting. So if you're unsaved, you are dead in your sin, but Jesus can make you alive. So I want you to get that picture. If that's you today, you don't know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven when this life's over, get that picture today. But the main picture I want you to get, because the majority of you today here are saved, most of you here are members of this local New Testament church, but I believe there's another picture here for us. Because I believe that even though we are, in fact, dead to sin and alive unto God in Jesus Christ, we can live as though we were dead. We can live as though we are gone back and not alive in Christ anymore. And the Bible calls it sleep. You know, for saved people, death is just sleep, right? Because Jesus is going to raise us up. But we see in this account in Scripture today If you are dead in your sins and not alive, Jesus has the power to make you alive. And if you are saved, but you're living like you're dead, if you've gone to sleep spiritually, Jesus has the power to wake you up too. John chapter 11. Let's begin reading verses 1 through 3. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the word of God this morning. John 11, verses 1, 2, and 3 to begin. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help me to preach it exactly as you have me to today. I pray your Holy Spirit would just use me as an instrument in your hand. I pray that your Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts today. If there's one here who is unsaved, yet dead in their sins, I pray today would be the day they would repent, believe on Christ alone, and receive the gift of eternal life. And Father, for those of us in your church who are living as though we are dead, who have gone to sleep spiritually, Lord, I pray you would revive us again. You'd wake us up to the things of God. Help us to set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Lord, that you would help us to awake out of our sleep. Lord, please help me now. Please bless. I pray that everyone here would make up their mind right now, before another word of the sermon is spoken, to do whatever you convict their heart to do. Whether it's to be saved, to follow you in scriptural baptism and church membership, to rededicate their life, whatever it is, Father, I pray your will be done in my life, in the life of each person here, and I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Certain man was sick. And we're going to draw some parallels today because I believe that this passage of Scripture can give us some great pictures. And again, I want you to get that because we've got the two different pictures here. And I want you to understand that whether you are unsaved and you need to be saved, faith, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ is the answer for you today. It's the only answer. But if you are saved and you've gone back and you're living as though you're not saved, the answer for you is the same. It's to repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ, and he will revive you again. You'll notice in the Old Testament, it speaks about revival. It says, wilt thou not revive us again? Why? Because we have to be revived over and over again. The inner man is to be renewed day by day. Listen, you're not going to make one decision once in your life to follow Jesus and never need him to stir you up again. That's not the way this thing works. We got to be stirred up every day. We got to be renewed in our commitment to him every day. We've got to be focused on him and committed to him and surrendered to him each and every day. And if we don't allow the Holy Spirit of God to stir us up, you know, if you ever been camping and you have a campfire and it's cold outside, then it's nice to sleep close to that fire and it keep you warm. But in the morning, you'll notice that fire die down and you got to get up in the morning and stir it up. You got to get those embers stirred up, get that fire going again. And that's exactly the way we are. Every day we got to be stirred up again by the Lord. And so Lazarus was sick. I want you to notice they sent to the Lord to let him know. And of course you and I know that the Lord already knew. But they sent to him. And there's something for us to understand today. One of the first things we've got to do is recognize there's a problem. We need to be aware today. You see, I spoke to you the other night a little bit about the need for revival. And there is a great need for revival in our country. But this morning, I don't want you to look out there so much. I want you to look right in here. And I don't even want you, see, it's easy for us to do this. It's easy for you to look to the person sitting next to you in the pew and say, man, they need revival. Amen? It's even easier to look across the aisle, those people on the wrong side of the church. Amen? And the people in the front, think about the people in the back, think what's wrong with those people. And the people in the back, look at the people in the front and think what's wrong with those people. It's easy to look around at everybody else and see how much they need revival, but revival's not going to come by you thinking somebody else needs it. Revival's going to come when you realize you need it. It's going to come when I realize I need it. And it's a sickness. We learned this week at Oh Yeah that we learned a lot about sin. And the Bible tells us that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when that lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every time. What happened? Lazarus got sick. You know what we are? We are sin sick. Now, I'm sin sick, but I have a Savior. And no matter what happens in my life, I have been redeemed. I've been born again. I still fight the flesh. I still live in the flesh. I still fall into sin from time to time. But ultimately, Jesus Christ has saved me. He's given me eternal life. And that's never going to change. But sometimes we live as though we're still dead in our sins. You notice in verse 3, he said, "He whom thou lovest is sick." You know who I am? I am he whom Jesus loves. You know who you are? You are he or she whom Jesus loves. And you may be sick today. You might be physically sick. Might be financially sick. None of that really matters nearly as much as the fact that you may be spiritually sick today. You might be spiritually sick in that you're lost without a Savior. Or you may be spiritually sick and then in that you are backslidden. You've turned back. You've gone back to the old life. You're living in the flesh instead of in the spirit. And I want you to know something today. If you're sick spiritually, Jesus still loves you. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us because he loves us. Look with me at verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Now, I'm not about to suggest to you today that Lazarus had some terrible sin in his life and that's why he got sick and that's why he died. But that's the parallel I want to draw for you and me today. Ultimately, he was sick and he died so that Christ could be glorified. That's what he said. This isn't about Lazarus being dead. This is about God getting glory and the Son of Man being glorified. That's what this is all about. By the way, you know what everything in your life is about? It's about God being glorified and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being glorified. That's what we exist for. And so just remember, no matter what happens in your life, if it's good or if it's bad or if it's ugly or if it's terrible, ultimately God can get the glory in any circumstances in our life. Everything that happens in your life ultimately is for his glory and for your good. And for your good. So back at verse 4, he said, "This is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now this is interesting though. Jesus finds out Lazarus is sick. And he says, this isn't about him dying. It's about me and the Father getting glory. And he
And so when he heard he was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 days. Now, does that make sense to you? Listen, I don't know about you, but when somebody I love is sick and I pray to God to heal them, I want him to heal them now. When I've got a problem in my life and things aren't going well and I cry out to God for help, I want him to help now. We need to understand something today. God works in his time. And sometimes the Lord will allow things to get way worse than we think they could possibly get just so he gets the glory. He'll allow things to go beyond our control. Oh, wait, they're always beyond our control. He allows them to go to the point we understand that they're beyond our control. So he heard he was sick, so he stayed where he was for a couple of days. And then he says, let's go see Lazarus. And they said, wait a minute, the Jews have been trying to stone you. Why do you want to go back over there? Why would it be that Jesus would risk life and limb to go see Lazarus? Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. I don't know everything that Jesus was getting at here in verses 9 and 10, but I know this is one thing. Jesus had a work to do while he was here. He had a certain amount of daylight that he could do what his Father sent him to do. And this was one of the things he was to accomplish. Leading up to his own death and burial and resurrection, he would see Lazarus dead and buried and raised again to demonstrate his power so that more would believe in his holy name. In verse 11, he says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. I believe with all my heart, if we would invite Jesus into our lives each day, he would wake us up out of our sleep. He'll come if you invite him. He'll wake you up if he comes. So why is it that we don't want to invite him? Maybe we like our sleep. When I study the book of Proverbs, I get very convicted. Proverbs has a lot to say about slothful people and sluggards. I'm going to go ahead and just be honest with you today. When I read those verses, I feel like he's describing me perfectly. Now, maybe none of you are lazy. Maybe none of you love sleep, but it's one of my favorite activities. I've become one of the old men at camp. While the kids are out playing at camp, I usually find a way to make my way back up to the cabin and spend some time in the bed. When I was a young man and we used to go to camp, we had a mandatory nap time at church camp. Any of you guys remember that? I hated that. Man, I hated that. They made us go in there and lay down, and we had to stay in there for like a whole hour, and it was horrible. It was terrible. And you know what? I wish we'd bring that back. I want to bring it back. Let's all go to the cabin and take a nap. You know, spiritually, we like to sleep. We like to be asleep. We don't want to be awake. We don't want to fight the fight. We don't want to be aware of what's going on around us. We just kind of want to be numb to it all. Forget about the problems. And forget about the aches and the pains and the difficulties. We just kind of want to check out for a while. So we don't want to invite Jesus because he's going to wake us up. He's going to make us aware of what's going on around us. He's going to make us aware of the spiritual battle that we need to be fighting. He's going to put us squarely in the battle, and he's going to call us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to do that. We just kind of want to be numb to it all. But if we'll invite Jesus, he'll wake us up. He said, I go to awake him out of sleep. And the disciples said, but Lord, he's sick. He needs his rest. And don't we feel that way? Lord, I'm tired. I need my rest. I need to take a break. I've worked too hard. I've got all this stuff going on. I'm really stressed out. I just need a break. I want you to get something, friend. We need to find our rest in God. not get rest from God. We need to find our rest in Him. And He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But in the very next verse, He says, take my yoke upon you. He doesn't say, come to me and rest so you don't have to do anything. He says, come to me and find rest so you can work in my strength. The Lord has never called us to do nothing. Never. He calls us to serve. He calls us to work. Listen, God's got an incredible retirement plan. One day you get to go to heaven and you won't have to labor anymore. But as long as you're still breathing, He's got work for you to do. And listen, I don't want to be hateful this morning, but I want to tell you, I don't care how old you are. If He was done with you, you wouldn't be here anymore. And I don't care how young you are, how much you don't know. If you know Jesus, you know enough to live for Jesus. I think the Lord gets tired of our excuses. And I love it when Jesus does this because I'm dumb. And I need the Lord to speak plainly. I sympathize with the disciples. Jesus spoke in parables and they'd come to Him and they would say, what did you say? I'm so lost. And He would get frustrated with them. Don't you understand? I'm speaking in parables because you believe. And if you have faith and believe, you're supposed to understand this stuff. And when I read the Bible, I'm like, what did you say? I don't understand. And so Jesus speaks plainly and says, Lazarus is dead. And spiritually, when we don't want to do things for the Lord, when we don't want to get up and come worship the Lord, when we don't want to grace this church with our presence every time we assemble together. By the way, we're supposed to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And that means anytime this church has appointed to assemble, we're supposed to be here. I don't think He qualified anytime there's Sunday morning worship, be there. I don't see that. The assembling. When this body of Christ has agreed to assemble, we need to assemble. See, now I'm meddling. Hurting people's feelings. We say, well, we're just resting. I'm just taking a little nap. Jesus says, you're dead. No, don't misunderstand. Not spiritually. You didn't lose your salvation. But when we're not living for Jesus, we're spiritually dead. We're not just taking a nap. We're not just taking a break. We're not just resting. We are completely ineffective. How much can a dead body do? What was Lazarus getting done the 4 days from the time he died till Jesus got there? Getting cold? Verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Wow. Listen, Lazarus was sick, but now he's dead. And I'm glad I wasn't there. Why? To the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. And for all you people who always want to get on Thomas, doubting Thomas, how about this? Listen, if Jesus is going to go face the Jews and they're going to stone him, let's go, we'll die with him. I like this Thomas. Don't you? Let's go. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, which is about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Man, don't you love her faith? Man, she's another one we like to get onto because she was cumbered about with being busy. But she was a woman of faith. Listen, when she was at the house and all the people came and they were together, and it's just like today. I mean, you've seen it. When somebody has a loved one die and the church gathers together and their family gathers together and the whole family's at the house and they're looking through the pictures and they're remembering and they're telling stories and they're laughing and they're crying, and that's what was going on. Except for the pictures. They weren't looking at pictures. But there, people came from the community. People came from Jerusalem. Lots of people knew this family and cared about this family, all gathered together, and they're mourning this loss together. But somebody must have run ahead and said, Jesus is coming. Now, I don't know exactly how it all played out. I've got it in my mind that Martha heard about it and Mary didn't know. But when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she didn't even go tell Mary. She just took off. She was excited to know that Jesus was coming. She had sent word and said, Lord, Lazarus is sick. The one you love is sick. And when she heard he was coming, she couldn't wait for him to get to the house. She had to run out and meet him. Are you excited for Jesus to come? We know he's coming again. But I mean, are you excited for Jesus to come and be a part of our services? I mean, are you excited? We think about this revival meeting. I love revivals. I love taking a break from the rest of the stuff going on in our lives and for every night, night after night after night, coming to God's house and singing God's praises and hearing preaching from the Word of God. I love it. And I'm excited about it because you feel like at those revival meetings that the Spirit just moves in a different way. We've been seeking His face. We've been inviting Him to come. We've been praying, Lord, send Your Spirit to come and be with us. And aren't you excited for a Spirit to be here? Come! Man, it's awesome. I don't know about you. I love it. When we're singing and the church is singing, lifting up our voices, you just feel the Spirit of God moving your heart. I love it when the preacher's preaching, and this is weird because my flesh hates it, but my spirit loves it. You know, when the preacher's preaching and it just gets all over you, and you feel encouraged and built up in your spirit, and your flesh just feels beat down, stomped on. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I love it. I love it. And I hate it, but I love it. She was excited for Jesus to come. But you know what? If revival really happens, we won't just be excited for Jesus to come to a revival meeting. We'll be excited for Jesus to come into our hearts and lives every day. Listen, if you're saved, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. He's with you and He's never going to leave. But the Bible tells us about something else, not just the indwelling of the Spirit. He talks about the filling of the Spirit. And the being filled with the Spirit isn't about you getting more and more of Him. It's about Him getting more of you. And daily when we yield to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will fill up every part of our hearts and our lives and our minds, and it is awesome. She heard Jesus was coming. She went and met Him. Verse 21, she said, Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. See, she had faith. I believe, Lord, you could have kept him alive. But I love what she says in verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. You weren't here and he died, but I know whatever you do, Lord, whatever you say, Lord, whatever you ask, Lord, it'll be done. Do we have that kind of faith today? Do we have that kind of faith to go to Jesus and say, Lord, I know you could do anything? You can revive my heart. You can change my heart. You can change my mind. You can change my family. You can see my mom and dad get saved. You can see my brother or sister get right with God. Lord, you could do anything. He says, your brother will rise again. She says, I know that, Lord. I know in the resurrection he's going to rise again. Lord, I know in the resurrection all the believers are going to be raised up. I know that. But Jesus says in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, I think this resurrection is a great picture of revival because it's like we got spiritually dead, we're asleep, but Jesus can bring us back. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Verse 27, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I believe Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one of God, the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God, our only hope for life everlasting? She believed that. Verse 28, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I want you to get this. When she heard Jesus was there, she ran out to meet him. That's why I don't think she knew he was coming earlier. Because when she heard that Jesus was there, she ran to see him. And notice very quickly in verse 32 what happened. She came to where Jesus was. When she came to where Jesus was, she saw him. When she saw him, she fell down at his feet. Well, friends, I think there's a recipe for revival right there. There's a whole other sermon right there that I won't preach. You're welcome. How about coming to where Jesus is? Where is he? Well, he's in his word. He's in his house. How about we come to where Jesus is? If you come to where Jesus is and you have a right heart, open your heart, open your eyes. We pray. We sang that song earlier, open my eyes that I may see. We open the word of God and seek him in the spirit. We'll see him with eyes of faith. And when you see Jesus, you know what you'll do? You'll fall down. You can't stand up on your two feet when you see Jesus. When you really see Jesus, you'll fall down. You'll be humbled before him. When Isaiah saw God in Isaiah chapter 6, high and lifted up, he fell down on his face and said, woe is me. I told you before about the man that said he saw Jesus. Told a pastor friend, he said, I saw Jesus this morning. He said, really? What? Tell him what happened. He's like, well, I was in my bathroom. I was brushing my teeth and I looked in the mirror and there was Jesus was standing behind me. He said, well, what did you do? He said, well, I just kept on brushing my teeth. He said, well, friend, you didn't see Jesus. When you see Jesus, you don't just keep on brushing your teeth. When you see Jesus, you don't just keep on with what you're doing. If we would see Jesus, we wouldn't stay asleep. She said the same thing that Martha did. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. I know this is your favorite verse in the Bible to memorize. This is the shortest verse in the Bible, and yet it says so much. Why did Jesus weep? Why did he cry? Well, you notice he cried when he saw the sorrow of Mary and the other Jews that were there. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus Christ cares. Remember the song, Does Jesus Care? Oh, yes, he cares. He cares. He loves us. He cares about your sorrow. He cares about your pain. He cares about, and here's the thing, he allowed it to go this far so that he could be glorified, but it broke his heart to see them hurting like that. Listen, Jesus cares. Maybe a lot of other reasons why Jesus wept, but know that he loves you deeply. Verse 36 then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. See, Jesus had set all of this up, and everything worked out just right. Martha was able to run out of the house and meet Jesus, and nobody noticed. But she came back and tried to very quietly get Mary. Everybody noticed. And so all of them followed her. She's going to go to the grave for a while and cry there. So they all followed her, but she didn't go to the grave. She went to Jesus. And then when they saw Jesus and how hurt he was, how moved he was, they said, man, if only he'd have been here, he could have saved his life. And so all the pieces are in place now for them to see the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus' power to revive. Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. I don't want to hurt your feelings today, but we're looking at Lazarus as a picture of us. And we go to sleep. We live as though we are dead spiritually. We stink. We stink. There's no greater hurt to the cause of Christ than an ungodly, backslidden believer. You think the atheists do so much damage? You think the people who hate God and speak out against him do so much damage? I'm here to tell you they do nothing compared to one of us living ungodly lives. We bring a reproach and a shame on the name of Christ. And we don't gather in, we scatter abroad. Verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. I want you to get something. Jesus already prayed about this. He already prayed about it. He already talked to the Father about it. He said, I know that you heard me. Before, when I asked you about this, you heard me. Now remember, Jesus has all power and all authority, but when he lived this life, he didn't use his own power. He gave us an example to live by, and he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit and used only the power the Father would give through him. I don't understand that completely, but I know this. He lived it as an example for us. When he wanted something done, what did he do? He prayed. He asked the Father to do it. You know what we need to do if we want to see revival? We need to pray. We need to have faith that God will hear us. Can we pray with that kind of authority? You bet we can. Because he told us we could. If you just believe, you'll see the glory of God. He said, Father, I thank thee that you heard me. Because you always hear me, but I'm saying this out loud so everybody here will know that you, Father, have sent me. So everybody's standing around. They're all crying. They're all weeping. They're all thinking, man, we've seen Jesus do some amazing things. If he'd have just been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But I don't think any of them, except maybe Martha and Mary, believed he could do what he was about to do. I can't imagine what everybody there's thinking. I mean, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. This is not the days we have now with all the embalming and all that stuff. They wrapped him up in grave clothes. They put the ointment and stuff on him. But none of that's going to help. He's going to rot. He's going to decay. He's going to stink. They said, Lord, it's been 4 days. You don't want to open up that tomb. He said, didn't I tell you if you just believe? I'm not going to do things the way that makes sense. Verse 42 again, I knew that thou hearest me always because of the people which stand by. I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. In verse 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Listen, they didn't even go near the tomb. They got close enough to roll the stone out of the way, to get the stone out of the way. And Jesus, from stamping back, they moved the stone. You can imagine they all got back. It stunk. And Jesus just cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man got up and walked out of the grave, still bound with his grave clothes on. And he comes walking out. He can't even unwrap himself. They had to unwrap him. But when Jesus called him forth, he came forth. I want you to listen to me. And get this as clearly as I can say it today. Friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he says, come forth to you today. If you would repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will bring you to life. If you hear his word and believe, you are passed from death unto life. And friend, if you are saved but living like you're dead, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Jesus says, come forth. He says, wake up. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And you can imagine, can you imagine what it was like for Lazarus? I mean, I don't know what's been going on. I know the death of separation. I know that these 4 days his spirit was not with that body. And that body was cold, and that body was starting to rot. By the way, I don't think it was some kind of weird thing like he stayed all nasty and rotten. Jesus healed him, made him whole. Amen? But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, his spirit went back into that body, and he opened up those eyes, and he's bound up with grave clothes. I don't know exactly what that was like, but I got this picture of kind of like a mummy thing going on in my mind. He's got this napkin over his face, and he's in this cave, and suddenly the breath comes back into that body, and he opens his eyes. Why? Because he heard the voice of Jesus, and so he gets up, and he stumbles out to the opening of the cave, and the light, can you imagine? The light. And they come to him and they unwrap him. And I love what Jesus says. Loose him and let him go. You know what the Lord wants to do for you? If you've been asleep, he wants you to be loosed. He wants you to get out of your grave clothes. He wants you to throw that stuff off, and he wants you to go. I want to share one more couple of verses with you very quickly while our musicians get ready. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Listen, friend, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. We've got a little bit of time on this earth. And we can waste our lives pursuing things of this earth, playing games, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, living for the things of this world. We can waste our life away spiritually being like we were dead, asleep. Or we could hear the voice of Jesus Christ this morning saying, come forth. Get up. Shake off those grave clothes. Let yourself loose from the things of this world and go and live for Jesus Christ. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing what number? Number 563. Listen, friends, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ has the power to make you alive today through repentance and faith. And if you're saved, but you've been living like you're dead, He has the power to revive you today. I want to just, before we sing, I want you to get this. If you know in your heart today you're asleep, It's like you're dead. You're not doing anything for Jesus. Might as well be laid up in the grave somewhere. I want to challenge you to wake up and recognize that you need to be awoken. And come and ask the Lord to stir you up today. Ask Him to revive your heart today. Do you need revival in your heart? If you do, come and seek His face right now while we sing.